This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
This is a tough day for the older Yankee fan with the facial hair policy changing and also finding out that Aaron Boone got an extension. You know, he's no Billy Martin. He got that. And now this facial hair thing with the well-groomed beard.
I don't know. I'm an Aaron Boone fan. I think that the fact that he took his team to the World Series last year, even though they lost and they were embarrassed the way they lost, I would still say that he was more than deserving of a contract extension and should not have had to go into a season as a lame duck manager.
Yeah, and it's either you let him go or you give him an extension. To have that over your head is a tough way to do business.
We remember going into last NFL season, it was Mike McCarthy who had that contract situation. This year, it will be Nick Sirianni if they don't get a deal done with him in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, much like the Yankees who won the American League, you know, you had the Eagles who won the Super Bowl, so you would expect that extension to get done. But, you know, it's weird because you say, hey, they got to the World Series, so you can't fire the manager. But they also did fire Joe Girardi after a really good
season. Yeah, but that was like a 10-year span, a 10-year run. Joe Torre had a 10-year run. It usually seems to be like the, you know, kind of like the extension of a manager, I guess, in Major League Baseball, the way that Brian Cashman sees it. But I think he really does like Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone's a good manager for them because he's willing to collaborate and not fight. You know, the analytics part of it.
Yeah.
And there is a connection. I don't care what anybody says. There's definitely a connection between him and Aaron Judge. That is a positive connection. And if your captain is happy, your best player is happy, then it's easy for the manager to be the manager, you know, with everybody else and hold everybody else accountable, especially if your best player is somebody like Aaron Judge.
I know they got a lot of new players, the Yankees, this year, but I hope that the guys that were here last year take everything that happened personally. You know, that whole Dodgers crapping on him after the World Series, the whole things that they're hearing about how, you know, the Mets take Soto away and the Mets are built more for the future. You already heard Aaron Judge respond to that, and Soto said, you know, I think that Mets are better set up to win in the future. So, like, all those things I hope they take personally and play with a chip on their shoulder and have an edge and just not kind of have your ho-hum Yankees season. You want to see some energy. You want to see some fight.
I thought the Paul Goldschmidt thing feels like, you know, here we got an older guy. Is he going to be able to play over 100 games? Is he going to be batting like 210?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, obviously. Like,
what is going to be the situation? This is, again, they go down, and again, this is a cheap signing. It's not that big of a deal, and he obviously has the pedigree. But then again, you know, so have so many other players that they have brought here that have never, ever been able to live up to what they accomplished in other places.
Yeah, and I don't really get on the Yankees for bringing in some of these older veterans on short deals because they have a window with Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge at these ages where they're still at the top of their games, and it's not going to be like that forever. You know, I mean, you get Gerrit Cole. How old's Gerrit Cole now? 36? No, it's got to be younger than that. It's got to be 34, I want to say. And
34,
I know 34
nailed it.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole's 34, and Aaron Judge is 33 this season, I think. So you still got those guys.
Maybe
you
got about three to four more years.
Yeah, so that's why it's like, okay, you know, you bring in a veteran on a short-term contract. That's why they're talking about also Nolan Arenado at third base. They acquire him, and they can find
guys some. Break down so much.
But you're not counting on them for 15 years like the Mets are counting on Soto, you know?
No, I know that. I don't like 15-year deals either.
Yeah.
I don't care how old a guy is, unless he's 21. Then maybe I would consider it, and you're buying out some of his years to save some money on the back end of it. That totally, I understand that. But I don't know. I'm as great as Soto is as a hitter, he is not a five-tool player.
Well,
he is not Aaron Judge. Okay, he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's not either one of those players.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in the postseason a lot better player and hitter than Aaron Judge is, but. Yeah, I mean, you're right. But he did. He's heard all that noise. He knows about it. He said he's working on his defense. We'll see. Maybe he comes in as best. Maybe he has his best defensive year ever this year. Who knows?
Well, he needs to have 15 years of his best defensive years for the money they're paying him.
Yeah.
I understand why Steve Cohen did it. I'm not disgusted that he's on the team. It's not my money. It's his money. But it's hard for me to believe, especially now with Major League Baseball and ESPN splitting up.
Yeah.
Think about what are these baseball teams actually worth?
I mean, if this is a conversation we have had many times, I don't understand how they're worth what they're worth. Some of these other teams, I mean, I get the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Giants. I understand those, but and that's really going to hurt Major League Baseball not having that. You see what ESPN can do with that even today when it's not as big as it used to be with their promotional. Everybody, you know, the tush push that they have promotionally.
Yes.
They get eyeballs on things that don't normally get eyeballs. Like, for example, this Four Nations, you know, ESPN was a big part of putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, them TNT and, you know, obviously was too, but more ESPN because that's where people go for sports.
Yeah.
And that's why that game was on ESPN last night.
I'm telling you, if that TGL was on the Golf Channel, there wouldn't be a single person watching it. But because ESPN puts it on there and Scott Van Pelt, they're interviewing Tiger and Rory after the matches and they're, you know, they've got their whole push there.
That, the cross promotion, as you said, the tush push across the goal line is certainly a big advantage for them to promote anything. This is why them and Major League Baseball, I don't know what Major League Baseball is going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to go. But that is a, in my eyes, at least right now, is a huge loss. Forget about the money part of it for a second. Just the exposure part of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And how many shows were just dedicated to baseball because they were on ESPN?
Of course. I mean, fewer as we've gone on the years, but I mean, Sunday Night Baseball. So this year, for people to know, there still will be ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. There'll be baseball on ESPN this year. It's the end of this season that the deal is done, and ESPN will not be engaging with Major League Baseball any longer. So, you know, I don't know where they go, but I mentioned this earlier too. That was the time Gary Bettman thought he took a great deal with OLN back in the day and left ESPN. It was one of the worst decisions he could have ever made. This one, though, has been made by ESPN, not by Major League Baseball.
I just wonder if it goes back to the MLB app and with the streaming services, you know, I guess NY is done with the MLB app now. I'm just wondering if that is going to be more pronounced than more center focused around all of baseball as opposed to, you know, farming it out or receiving money from somebody else to do it. Why not just keep it in-house if we can do it?
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here. We started the show in case you missed anything. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. Started the show talking about the difference in building a team, where as the Yankees went heavy in the rotation, Mets went heavier in the lineup, a little thinner in the rotation, going for value plays there, which is the right way. Some question marks about each, the Yankees lineup, the Mets team, the X-Factor. So we've done a lot of baseball talk so far. Jim is in Yorktown. What's up, Jim?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Awesome, man. Hey, BT, real quick, enjoy the ride with your kid, man. Baseball's awesome, although, you know, baseball in the Northeast, it's tough, man. My son's going into his senior year of college, and we open up the season this weekend down
in
D.C. It's gonna
where's he playing?
So he was at Albany for 2 years, and he transferred to Ithaca last year.
Okay.
And best move he ever made.
That's awesome, man. Good luck to you. Enjoy it.
Thank you, man. It's Can't believe it's the last year, though, man. I'm gonna need a psychiatrist when we're done.
Jimmy, I have already said, and I'll get your point here, I am going to cry my eyes out, not just for my son, but it's over for my daughter as well. There is no more pure joy in life than what exactly. I get from coaching these kids. It's the best. What's
absolutely,
going on, buddy?
Absolutely. Hey, so, you know, just hear me out for a second. And I would never, ever have thought this if it weren't for the two of you, okay?
Okay.
The two of you had Trevor Bauer on your show.
Yeah,
it was in studio.
Was that a year ago?
Yes.
Okay.
You had him on your show, and it truly gave me a different perspective of him, and it just brought something different. And I'm looking at Trevor Bauer going, why hasn't this guy gotten another opportunity? Why not, Steve, like you Stearns, you've had, you know, so much success in finding those diamonds in the rough and finding those pitchers that just came out of nowhere. Why not give this guy another shot? The guy can still pitch. You look at his numbers over the last 5 years, he's 47-17, got a 2.31 ERA, 677 strikeouts, 143 walks, and 577 innings pitched. He's got a whip of 1.026. Like, the guy can still pitch.
I know.
Why not give him a flyer? Why not put him, sign him to the major league minimum, loaded with incentives, and if he's a pain in the butt, you know what? You cut him. No harm, no foul.
No, but nobody's done it. It's time to move on, Jim.
And that was a year.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. And by the way, if you heard the interview, and thank you for the call, you know at the time, and I know it's easy to get wooed by somebody in person. It's different. BT and I are different. Like, it takes a lot to get that. We would have gotten a feel if he weren't any good.
We called him on some stuff, too.
Yeah, I thought he handled himself well.
So did I.
And by the way, like, you don't think that there are... Quote, I'm not even going to say he's a bad person, Bauer. I don't know.
I think he's got some weird sexual proclivities, well, but he's not proven to be a criminal.
So my point is, you don't think that there are people currently
100%.
Employed in sports that have some weird sexual
100%.
Stuff going on? Like, come
100%.
On. So, but anyway, we don't care about, again, if it were criminal and, you know, abusive and certain things we did call him out on that we find repulsive and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you're trying to talk about, okay, now that he was cleared, can he help your team win? And we both thought that he could, but it's a year ago. So there's no need to go.
Oh, ship has sailed.
It's over. He's only getting a year older.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for him. By the way, there was some news during that call. You want it?
Yeah.
Yankee news.
Okay. Obviously not favorable.
Is the
wry smile.
No, it's not true.
Oh, okay. Do I want to take
a guess? What do you think I'm being? I'm trying to think of
it. I don't know. Let me see. What do I want to take a guess?
Did you see it, Hoff?
Yes.
Okay. So
on a scale of 1 to 10, is it interesting or is it just a little teeny tiny spring sidebar?
I think it's a. I think it's
six-ish.
A,
seven.
I go six.
All right, you don't hit me with it. I have no idea.
Oh, wait. Let me just give one more hint.
Yeah.
You're going to be very excited about that.
I am.
Yes.
Yes. You personally.
All right. So it's got to be about. Is it something like with Mattingly?
No.
Is it something roving and? It's nothing to do with the roster. I don't think.
No.
Okay. Is it some sort of get? Am I doing more games? Did they announce that? And they didn't tell me?
Actually, I said, you're not doing anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I wouldn't be excited because I love doing it, even though I probably wasn't good doing it.
The Yankees.
What the hell's going on?
The Yankees announced this morning.
Yes.
That they have signed.
Yeah, okay. Oh, God. Who?
Manager Aaron Boone.
There we go, Booney.
2-year contract extension.
That's why Booney was in a good mood. We were both texting with him last night.
Yeah,
he knew it was coming down.
You know what I texted him about?
What?
And say, Johnny Franco was in studio. He went 10-13. You got the low score.
Dude, it's so funny. That real quick before we react to, because that's actually, we have to have the Boone extension
only
conversation.
2 years.
Well, we'll have it.
Okay.
You were texting Boone about Franco's performance.
Yeah.
So was I.
About the same thing?
I will show you the text message.
We probably should just be on a group one at this point, because it's weird that...
Well, no. We want to talk about the Mets, and me and Booty got to talk about you sometimes, so we need to have our little private Yankee chat.
I'm working my way up before I ask him how Soto looks in camp, and then be like, oh, sorry, wrong number.
And we were going back and forth, and I, you know, that's funny. And I hit him up, we haven't texted in probably a month or so, he was here. I'm not going to be up his behind, obviously, but I texted him, I'm like, hey... Johnny Franco was in studio yesterday with me and Sally. Absolutely crushed it. He hammered 10 out of 13 blah, blah, blah. And he wrote back, and I'm like, how's camp going? Is this going well? You know, a couple of injuries, but we're doing well. And then he's like, when are you and Sal coming to Tampa? So that kind of spawned a different conversation, which you and I have been talking about off air, trying to get it done. But I'm very happy. Not because I like Boone. He deserves the extension. Aaron Boone deserves the extension as manager of the Yankees.
Now my thing is, why only 2 years? Like, to me, it's almost like an invitation. It's like a non-extension. 2 years, that's it? Although,
what
maybe. I'm just telling you, like, when I first read it, Now, I could be totally wrong on this, and it has nothing to do with, like, our relationship with Boone. Like, yeah, that's cool, but when I first read this, I assumed it would be more than 2 years. Is it just a two-year deal? Like, is that the norm for a manager for an extension? And is it, by the way, Hoff, can you confirm the report that I'm seeing says more to come? Is it 2 years on top of this year?
Yeah, it's not. This year's already done, so it will be this year and then two more.
Okay, two-year extension. So, oh, wait, I'm sorry.
It's got to be.
Covering the
2027.
26, covering the 26 and 27.
Yeah, so it's plus two in addition to.
25, 26, 27.
So it's this year, next year, the year after.
Still probably like one more year. I think a three-year extension probably would have been. It just took him to a World Series.
Yeah, Sal, I guess when you put it that way, I guess perceptually it seems a little light, but I think Boone's good with it. I think Aaron Boone's one of them. Not everybody's able to thrive here.
Maybe he only wanted 2 years. Who knows? We don't know. I'm just saying, when I first read it, I thought it was a little light. Like, I expect an extension, I guess, to be 3 years minimum.
I guess. You know what I'm going to do? And Hoff, maybe you can pop it since we're in the middle of a segment here. Like, I'd like to know, what was at the apex of Joe Torre's run? What was Joe Torre's extension? Probably 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But he's not Joe Torre. Joe Torre won a lot of championships. Aaron's yet to win one. He got to the World Series. But look, forget about the contract. And I know what you mean. Maybe that third year would have looked a little bit better. Whatever. I'm happy he's the manager. I've always said, I joke around, I'm not saying he's Miller Huggins or Billy Martin or Tony La Russa, but he is a good baseball man. But more importantly, he's a great front man for this team. There's really no nonsense. There's no controversy. He is polished. He wins. He diffuses any little controversy. Does a good job of keeping it on the baseball field, and I'm happy he's my guy. I'm a Boone fan.
And now here's the question. Over the course of the next 3 years, let's just say that they don't win the World Series. You think the Yankees make a change? And maybe the bigger picture would be, and I know this is playing it down the road here,
that's all
right. But like, that's the one thing that's left, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and would the change come? Like, you get the feeling that they're never going to change from Brian Cashman unless Cashman wants to move on for whatever reason. Like, do you think we're at a point now where Cashman and Boone are tied together, and in 3 years, if they don't win the World Series, maybe then it's a clean break and both guys move on?
I think what's going to happen is, I think that Cashman's going to step aside on his own volition. They'll never fire him. I think when he's prepared to move into maybe a behind-the-scenes role or advisory with a different team, whatever. I think Cash is here as long as he wants. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think he's here as long as he wants. And I think that really, I don't know that they're necessarily tied together, but I also think that whenever Cashman steps aside, it will probably be an internal elevation.
And then somebody
who is
else.
A believer in Boone. No, not necessarily. I don't know that they would. Like, it's not like you're bringing in, you know, a general manager from the Cardinals, and they're like, no, I don't want Boone. I want my own guy. I just think that there's synergy with the Yankees. Now, some people think that too many people are too comfortable in the front office. Like, Cashman's been here forever. Not everybody like trust Boone the way I do. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's a winner, and he's good for this team and good for the city. But I just think it's somebody that is lower right now that takes over for Cashman that probably believes in Boone enough to satisfy Hal.
I feel like you trust Boone a lot more after he was in here playing cards with us.
Nah. I've always, it's funny you say that, and I know you're laughing, and I know why you're saying
just
that.
Messing around.
No, what's happened once I've gotten to know him a little bit, and I think my appreciation for him as a person obviously grew, but I've always said, you know, and you could find this, there's records of everything, ridiculous Zach Wilson takes, I mean, good stuff, man. Anything we said is a matter of record, go find it. I was always much more pro Boone and, you know, had open reservations about Cashman. Here's the question.
The true test will be if we ever get Cashman in here. Then
well, we've had him on the show.
No, I know.
I like saying, Cashman. Yeah, I like him.
Me too.
I don't know that he's evolved to the point where I need him to evolve.
I like him. I don't like the way he puts together teams.
Yeah. I mean, he's, again, even I think that we're having fun. Like, listen, you're the Yankees. Win a championship. And I think that Cashman's done some things that have gone against the grain and prevented them from being better than they are. Whether it's I don't need to revisit everything.
No,
but the contracts, they didn't get Bryce Harper, blah, 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 whatever. Maybe not player development is not what it needs to be. But there's something to be said for stability. I mean, I was alive for this, and I was watching. I mean, here's Dallas Green. Here's Bucky Dent. Here's Clyde King as the general manager. Here's Lou Piniella. I love Lou because he unlocked Don Mattingly. But, you know, there was a procession of Yankee managers that were wheeled in and just bounced, and it was a decade of nothing. I am completely good with Aaron Boone getting that extension.
Yep, so congrats to the Yankees skipper. 2 more years, so 3 years through 2027 is the way best way to word it here as he gets set to embark on the 2025 season. Tom is in Colonia. What's up, Tom?
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Thursday morning. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking some baseball and just really the philosophy of the way the Mets have built the team versus the way the Yankees have built the team. And you talked about the Yankee lineup, ET. We went over this earlier in the weekend. I think it's a fun exercise just to look at the lineup and go up and down. I don't think that the Yankee, like right now without Stanton and thinking about, oh man, if Dominguez doesn't do what they need him to do, if this guy doesn't do what they need him to do, they can look a little thin. If Bellinger, like, you and I are assuming Bellinger's going to have a big year. We're assuming Judge's going to be healthy, have a monster year as always. Assuming Dominguez is going to take a legit step and be an impact player. Volpe, Wells, like, there's a lot of assumption in there.
Yeah.
But if not, all of a sudden the lineup, there is a way where you could paint it to look thin. Who do you think is the singular biggest X factor in that Yankee lineup?
Okay, I think it's Dominguez. And let me get you here and why I think that. First of all, part of this is reacting to what I've already seen, and then part of it is obviously projecting, all right, based on what I've seen. So, you know, I think some people might say Volpe, and I understand that. Watching Volpe in the postseason, you know, was on base 40% of the time, played, had 50 at-bats, by the way, OPS over 800, it's going to steal, going to catch it. I think Volpe's fine. I don't think he's ever going to be Gunnar Henderson or Witt, but he's going to be good. I look at Austin Wells, right? Austin Wells finished with the second highest OPS as a catcher, and now he really flamed out at the end. I think he was shot. But if you go back to July and August, do you realize that his OPS in July and August was 941 and 936? So, and I've always, you know, I've always, yeah. I believe in Wells more than Volpe. So I do.
Yeah.
I've always been a big Wells believer. So I'm not saying that there's no concerns with them, but I'm going to believe that they're more constants and givens than concerns, okay? Judge is Judge. Jazz is going to have pop. I don't know what his average will be, but Jazz will steal some bases, and Belly's going to hit some bombs, give you a little athleticism in center. So, you know, so Judge, Jazz, and Belly are constants. Volpe and Wells, I believe, will be good and good enough. Goldschmidt's going to be okay. Maybe if he's a little bit better than okay, that's fine. The reason the answer is demand, and their base is going to be a mess until it's not. Dominguez is the answer for me, not only because of the upside, like there, and I don't know if he hits the ceiling. I said to Sal yesterday, hey, I need to know by the All-Star break, who the hell is Jason Dominguez? I'm tired of guessing. We've been reading about him since he's 16. You know, he's never really even had like a monster minor league season. He's been banged up and he can't catch fly balls. Like, Dominguez needs to answer the questions, and I think he will, but is he a superstar? I'm definitely not going that far, but he could be. But why he's the answer, Sal, is because if he is a mess, like if he's just not the guy,
they're in trouble.
Now you're tapping into a bench that stinks, and I have no idea who's playing left. And now if you're trotting out, a substandard left fielder with third base and offensive mess, now you just got that lower third is just not good.
Yeah, and when I ask this question and we answer it, like obviously if Judge goes down, all bets are off.
Well,
in this particular line. Right, so we're not even going to address that. I tend to agree with you that it's Dominguez. I think you could make an argument that it could be Bellinger because we're just assuming Bellinger is going to regain form. He's been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this ballpark, in this lineup with Judge, I'm fascinated to find out how Boone is going to work it. With Belly, we assume Dominguez maybe going to be leadoff, which would mean probably Judge number two. I still would rather have Bellinger in front of Judge. But if I ask you this way, okay, so we kind of agree. You laid out all the reasons for Dominguez. I'm not going to double down and say the same exact thing you just said. Agreed. His potential could be superstar.
Mm-hmm.
It could be disaster.
It could be the minors.
Exactly. That's where the X factor is. If I ask you, we'll go through them real quick. Question marks.
Go ahead.
Going into the, with the Yankee lineup going into the year. Like Judge, obviously, not a question mark. There's no doubt.
None.
That what he's going to do. Even if he's hurt, he's still produced. He's still going to hit 45 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz.
I don't have any questions with Jazz. He's going to be a better fielder at second. He's going to steal 35 or 40, hit 20 home runs.
Okay.
Really big fan.
Me neither. Now is where it starts to get interesting. Belly.
See, I'm not expecting him to be a star. I think as a baseline, just kind of as a floor, I think you get like minimally here, Sal, 26, minimum.
Right.
26, 27 home runs, 15, 16 steals, 270 average, good two-strike approach. That's like almost worst case unless he got hurt. And better center field play than they had a year ago. I'm not worried about Bellinger. I understand there's been big fluctuations.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you. I think it's a fun exercise. That's why I wanted to ask you if he's a question mark or not. To me, it's like a mild question mark. I'm not as concerned about him as I am some of the others that we're going to get to here, but I do still think there's a question mark. He hit 18 homers a year ago. 266, 18. That's not going to fly.
He also missed a month.
Now, 2 years ago, 307, 26. So we're expecting somewhere like that.
Hit 270 with 32, 33 home runs, 90 RBIs, okay. Play center field, get some steals.
I still think there's a little question mark, but I'm going to lean toward, I pretty much think you could rely on what you're going to get from Bellinger. Dominguez.
I think that he's going to pop, man.
But he has to be a question mark, though.
He definitely is. Okay, he definitely is. Yes. But I think you're going to see a nice tantalizing combination of speed and pop. I really do.
Austin Wells. I know you like him.
I love him.
I love him too. But
20 home runs. Good approach.
You could say it confidently, but
I can't say, but as a catcher.
Is it fair to say that he's a question mark
still? No, for me, he's not. For you, he might be. For me, he's not. For me, he's been one of the best young catchers in baseball, and I think by the end of the year, he's going to probably assert himself as one of the three or four best overall hitters in baseball, right, as a catcher.
But that is your anticipation.
But I'm also lifting on some of the things he did a year ago.
Okay.
And again, I don't want to get too stat heavy, but Sal, last July and August, again, his OPS was 941 and 936.
I get it.
In back-to-back months.
I know overall, though.
He couldn't hit.
He's never.
Love him.
He hasn't had a full year.
I understand.
Okay, so he's less of a question mark in your mind than
Dominguez.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. Volpe.
Again, it depends what the parameters are. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar, so that's not a question.
Okay.
Is he going to steal 25 bags? Yeah. Is he going to hit 15 to 22 home runs? Yeah. Is he going to catch everything at him? Yes. Is he going to hit, above 260? I don't know. I knew he hit 243 a year ago. I do have some questions, but not ones that I don't question if he's going to implode. Like, I know he's going to be a functional major leaguer at minimum.
And the reason why I have questions with him is because I expect more than you do. I'm still holding him to those high standards.
Why, though?
Because
you haven't seen it.
Yeah, but that's what he was supposed to be.
Because he was drafted in the first round?
No, I've seen glimpses of it from him. I haven't seen enough of it. I think he could be a game changer. So I still believe he's got that in there. Is there a question mark? Is he going to hit 250 or 20? No. Like, we know what the floor is with him. But that's, to me, that's not good enough. And then if you combine his floor, if you're just expecting that, with the other question marks, with third base, where that's not even a question mark. Like, right now, it's
a disaster.
Yeah,
we're not even going to go into third base.
DH disaster. And then the last one will be Goldie.
I got to say he's a bit of a question mark.
Me too.
I'd be less than honest. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
He looked, he finished well, but he had a rough season.
That's kind of the point of the exercise where there are, forget third base and DH, which are known not good.
Mm-hmm.
There are some question marks in there. Now, Goldie could be the pro that we're expecting and hoping he could be.
Just be better than Rizzo.
And all is good, right?
Yeah.
But he could fall off the cliff, and it could be a disaster the way that Rizzo went. And then what?
That would stun me. See that coming. He's gonna post. He plays .150 every year.
He's been going down, though, declining.
True. He does like to go oppo. So as a right-handed hitter, using that short porch and obviously gapping it in right center. Again, I'm not saying he's going to hit .305. I mean, can I see him hitting .270 with, 23, 24? Yeah, I could. Maybe .270 is a bit ambitious, but he's not going to hit .220 or .230, I don't think. And if he does, that's a problem. And by the way, I know we get back to these calls.
Yep.
I want you to do the Mets coming up.
Yeah.
I want to
the
same question. I've got some questions. questions for you. I want you to answer them. View as a question, what you view as a constant going in. But the thing about the Yankees, while there are, I think you have a few more questions with the lineup than I do, if you were to do the rotation, outside of Gerrit Cole's health and the bullpen, I have no questions, which is what evens things out, which is why I'm excited and confident that the Yankees will be very, very good.
Correct. Great point. I figured we just pick the weakest link of each part, which would be the... and I said the same thing with the Mets, rotation. That would be the question there. Eric is in Riverville, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Hey, buddy.
BT, Sal, what's happening, boys? Yep.
What's cooking, man?
Fantastic conversation. I absolutely love it's a fascinating conversation because, both teams are flawed, but for very, very different reasons. And I know you guys are going to touch the Mets pitching because, to me, that's a very big problem for the Mets or a concern, right? And trying to, assume that they're going to do what they did last year, whether that's Peterson or Manaea, and that Senga is going to stay healthy. And then, obviously, that Holmes is going to convert to a starter. It's a big question mark. I mean, I think for all the reasons you said that the Yankees lineup is weak, that's obviously where the concern is on the Mets side. For the Yankees,
I don't know if it's weak. It's a little suspect in a few spots. I don't know if anybody said it's weak. Like the Royals lineup is weak outside of Witt. I mean, let's not go nuts here.
No, I agree with that.
Okay,
I agree with that. I think the challenge really is particularly at third base and DH. I mean, if DJ LeMahieu, as they're trying to sell us now, is going to be the DH walking in on opening day, Cashman's going to get laughed out of the building. That's not going to happen. So, but to me, who is the X factor? I completely agree with you, BT. It is the Martian. Is he going to be the Martian, right?
Right.
That's the question we all have. Is he going to turn into that guy? We don't know. But also, Volpe, to me, is 1B of that conversation. Volpe cannot hit 240 with 60 RBIs.
I'm with you.
That can't happen.
I agree.
Those are the 1A, 1B.
But what are your expectations for him? And thank you for the call, Eric. See, that's the difference. I have higher expectations, BT, for Volpe than you do. So what are you penciling him in as? And by the way, also a factor here is we could say Dominguez is going to be the X factor.
Yeah.
If he doesn't hit leadoff, which we assume he's going to, at least maybe to start, but what if he doesn't? And they make Volpe the leadoff hitter. I think then he could become more of the X factor because you're going to have higher expectations. We don't know how the exact lineup is going to go right now. I do think that there are a lot of question marks, but the two, to me, biggest fluctuations could be Dominguez and Volpe.
Let me ask you this. Let's simplify it this way with Volpe. Fascinating, because he took a big jump. He jumped 40 points in the average, and it's still not impressive, but if there's more in there, then it's going to get into a territory that's pretty good for his power-speed combo. Over-under batting average, Volpe, 255.
I'm going to say...
That would be about a 12-point jump.
I'm going to say under, unfortunately.
Under?
Well,
if you're saying under, how do you believe in him so much more than me?
I do believe in him more, but I still have those expectations. He hasn't done it yet.
Are you not going to hit 255 in year three?
I hope that he does.
Come on, man. He's got to.
But even if he did that, to me, it would still be this. I want him to be a 300
hitter. He's never going to be a 300. He's not going to be a 300 hitter. That's not him.
Where's he hitting in the lineup? Is he hitting leadoff?
First or seventh. Over under 20, 22 home runs.
Dude, he had a bad year last year.
Well, but it was a lot better than his first year, which was awful in terms of the average.
I feel like maybe just the postseason, or maybe I just accentuate the positives. Volpe's start last year. I was on the air. I said it. He's going to be a superstar. He's on the verge of superstardom.
And I was reluctant. I was like, I love the way he looks, but it's early.
We had Cashman on last summer. I told him to his face. He said the same. I was like, dude, I thought this guy's going to be a star. He said, yeah, us too. They still believe in him. So, maybe I should say over. I don't know what to believe with him, which is why I think he is a major question mark. The expectations still for me are through the roof for Anthony Volpe. But based on his first two seasons, I think you'd probably sign for 260 and 18 homers, which to me would be disappointing, but it would be his best season yet.
Yeah. Now, again, if you
25 steals, whatever, too.
No, I know what you mean. I was going to say, if you accent the 260 with 18 home runs and he steals 30 bases and he's, top three gold glove, and he plays every day, and he's an energy guy.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit of a different profile, but that's why it's never to disparage Volpe. Nobody's rooting harder for Volpe than me. I love the jersey thing. You don't get into that.
I don't care about that.
I know. We're 15 miles from Del Bard. My son plays shortstop. I love this. Right. He loves me. Love Volpe. I want him to be a superstar. He's not. He's not going to be Witt. He's not going to be Gunner. He's not Lindor. You happy Met fans? I said it. He ain't Lindor.
Cut that up, don't
you? You know what I mean? So he's not that player. And I don't think that he's ever going to be. Now, You don't have to be an A-plus player. Can you be a B player? That's the question.
You know, I still think, maybe I answered that too quickly about the 255, although it is hard based on what we've seen. I still think he can be a top player. I really do
like
believe it.
Like Witt and Henderson?
I don't know about that
far. Well, that's
far.
A top player.
Oh, okay, maybe top five, top six. Dude, Volpe last year, he was on, I mean, he was looking great for the first month of the season. I don't know what happened. He falls off.
And he looked great in October.
In the postseason.
He had some, he hit almost every, even his outs were on the button.
And I think they're relying on him to do more than 260 and 18. I really do.
And I will, but, you know, first you got to cross the 245 threshold.
I
mean, this is coming from somebody who's very rarely conservative, and I'm telling you, that's you went from 209 to 243. If we could get that 30-something point jump, we're good.
All right,
I don't know if we can.
What do you want to ask me when we come back? The X factor for the Mets rotation?
The X factor for the Mets, you determine where you apply it, and I want to throw a couple of scenarios at you, and I want to get your level of confidence.
All right, and we'll continue with your call as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
And by the way, game three of the BT and Sal Baseball Card World Series today, tied up at one, and my crib
tied
to the Bronx.
Tied at one, you get to pick the year now. I'm on the road.
I cannot wait for that.
He is dealing with what Aaron Boone said and Giancarlo confirmed is tennis elbow. What the hell is tennis elbow, Tiki?
It's just like tendonitis in your elbow. It's I don't think it's like arthritis, but it probably is the early stages of it. And you just have a stiffness and a soreness and pain, I would assume. This almost feels like he's just trying to take off some spring training days. You remember back in the day when Michael Strahan held out in his last training camp before the Super Bowl in 2007? Like, he just didn't want to go to training camp.
I'm
old enough. I've done this so many times. I don't need to do this. I'm holding out. Okay, we're good. I'll come back right before the season starts. Now, with Giancarlo, it's probably a lot more than that because he's constantly banged up with one thing or another. Fortunately, it's never been something upper body. It's always been lower body stuff.
It's usually a hamstring pull.
Right. Calf, hamstring, maybe a quad here and there. But look, I don't know how damaging or difficult this is going to be for him. But the word is that he had been dealing with this all of last season.
Right.
So it feels like it's something he'll be able to play through. He just doesn't want to do it for a month of spring training.
So the problem is, see, him having it last year actually concerns me even more because it hasn't gone away. Like,
I don't know if it will, though.
Well, but he even said yesterday he's in big pain. Like, it's not a minor thing. So, yes, he played through it last year, but it doesn't sound like he was playing through this kind of pain.
Yeah.
And if he's dealing with this in the first few days of spring training, it's fair to wonder, is it ever going to go away? Is it something he's just going to have to deal with?
It's probably a chronic injury that's going to just have to deal with via pain meds or whatever the heck it is you're going to play with. It's just, it's troubling because the first thing I said when we heard about this is, how did this happen?
Right. What was he doing?
What was he doing? Is he lifting too much weights? Is like, what's causing the stress to cause this to occur? But apparently it's been something he's dealt with. And even though he said last year, I'm sure he's dealt with it for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's muscular. He's muscle bound. And you can see it just looking at his arms and his shoulders and his back. Like, he's wound tightly. And that tight musculature, it pulls on your joints.
Mm.
So just, I don't want to say it was inevitable, but it was probably inevitable.
What concerns me about this is that it was last week we were talking about the Yankee lineup and who should lead off and where guys should hit. And when you look at the Yankee roster and you look at their depth chart as of right now, they do not have a margin for error.
Right.
So if Giancarlo Stanton isn't going to be ready for opening day, and we'll hear from Aaron Boone in a minute, where you hear what Aaron said the other day about that prospects. If he's missing considerable time, who's his replacement? Like, literally, look at the Yankee roster, look at their outfield in general, and I'll tell you, they don't have guys who can replace him. Right now, they've got three outfielders who are everyday players, and Jason Dominguez, who's got a lot to prove, in Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger. Their fourth outfielder, Trent Grisham, is already dealing with a hamstring issue. Their fifth outfielder, at least on their 40-man, is Everson Pereira. Remember him, big prospect?
Yeah, of course.
He had Tommy John last year. He hasn't taken an at-bat since May. I don't know if the Yankees believe that Everson Pereira is going to be able to help them immediately. That's their outfield depth. We talk about their infield depth. Well, we don't know who their third baseman is. So what makes this, to me, dangerous is that I don't believe they have a lot of depth. And so Giancarlo Stanton, over the last few years, you kind of looked at and said, all right, you know what? If you can get a $120, $130 out of him, great. I look at this Yankee roster and I say, I need a hell of a lot more than that.
Well, it makes it even more urgent that the third base situation hasn't been solved and that there's a bat that it seems acquirable that's not been acquired yet.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got a list for you.
Go ahead.
You want outfielders that you can get? Because right now, February 17th doesn't sound ideal, but there's actually still free agents out there. Number one, guy who played in New York, right-hand hitter, fellow by the name of Mark Canna. Mark Canna is begging for a job right now.
Right.
Begging. Now, before anyone just shudders like, Mark Canna, really? Bro, we're on February 17th. Like, it's not as if a Hall of Famer is sitting there in free agency waiting. But you know what Mark Canna is? He's a Major League Baseball player. He can actually suit up and maybe a couple of times a week give you quality at-bats. That's number one. But I have a second guy, and I'm going to duck as I say the man's name. But he is available. And you guys liked him a lot more than I did. Bring back Alex Verdugo. Chuckle all you want, but I mean, what are the options?
I think we really liked him at the beginning of the season when he was that dog. He was a dude. And he was starting to do some damage.
Right.
And then that all faded.
Yeah. Would you want Verdugo back, Shawnee?
Under the current circumstances, yes. But my fear in Verdugo is Aaron Boone loved him so much that I hope he understands you're bringing Verdugo in here to be the 10th man and not just go, oh, Stanton's back. We got to play him more.
Well, here's the reality. If Stanton's not ready for opening day, who's your opening day DH?
Rice, baby.
Ben Rice, okay, fine. And by the way, Ben Rice could have a big role on this team. He actually can catch. He's actually competing for the backup catcher's role, which is interesting.
Play first base.
He can play first base. You could DH Goldie. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely an option. You can play Oswaldo Cabrera at third base, DH DJ LeMahieu. Like, but those are your options.
Yeah,
They're not great.
It just it takes a little bit of the pop out of the lineup.
Doesn't it?
That's the problem.
Well, LeMahieu doesn't bring the pop.
Here's what Aaron Boone had to say when asked directly. Hey, Aaron, I know it's February 17th. We got a month and a half. Will Giancarlo Stanton be ready for opening day?
I don't know. We'll see. Tough to say. Like, I'm not going to put any timeline on it. We're just going to be smart with it and kind of listen to it a little bit.
And it's both elbows.
Both elbows. Yeah.
You know what that's code for? There's no shot he's going to be ready for opening day. That was Aaron Boone's answer.
Yeah.
That was his answer.
He just didn't want to tell us yet.
He didn't want to be a jerk and say no way, no how, but it's February 17th, and he's already telling you, I don't know.
Well, it's a long-ass season.
It is a long-ass season, but I bet he's frustrated, and that's just he sounded frustrated. You very rarely hear him sound frustrated. He's usually very calm, has the answer. He knows exactly what he's going to say, and just the idea of the question pissed him off.
Yeah.
You can tell. I don't know. I got to think about this already. Come on. It's not even like he's mad at the questioner.
Right.
He's mad at Giancarlo, or not mad, frustrated with Giancarlo Stanton that spring training really hasn't even started yet, and he's already hurt.
But is anybody surprised? And I don't mean that to pick on Giancarlo Stanton. I mean it in general with guys
early?
Being
hurt. This early? Yes.
Oh, come on.
It's surprising.
Yeah. Especially to have two elbows, that whole thing. It's not surprising that Giancarlo Stanton is banged up or anything, but we talked about it earlier, you know, the hamstring, stuff like that. To have two tennis elbows, yes, to start camp is surprising.
I'll tell you the difference between Giancarlo today and maybe Giancarlo 2 or 3 years ago. They need him. They need Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Right. You look at this Yankee lineup, it's not the same. And that's why I apologize that I use the name Mark Canna and Alex Verdugo. But I'm being real with you. The Yankees right now have 5 outfielders on their 40-man roster. One of them is a prospect coming off Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. The other is a 4th outfielder already dealing with a hamstring issue. And so you're going to need depth. And you right now, luckily, the offseason's over, but it's not over.
Right.
Because there's still a handful of guys who are looking for jobs. And don't worry, Met fans, we'll get to you in a few minutes. You're involved in this, too. Like, you look over and say, all right, who can I add? Because right now, they just don't have enough people that kind of give you confidence in this lineup. But we will play the game of guessing when Giancarlo returns. We played that game last year. We're going to play that again here in the middle of February. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019, and also the Mets' big injury that they faced earlier today. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Good. So I wanted to shed some light on the tennis elbow. So I've never played tennis in my life, but I was diagnosed with tennis elbow in both my elbows. Okay. And I got to tell you, it is very painful.
How do you treat
when
it?
There really is no treatment for it, to be honest with you. Like, when I sleep, I have to sleep with my arms straight out. And, like, during the day, if I'm pushing or pulling something, I feel it in my forearms, I feel it in my arms. Like, it gets bad. And that was 10 years ago I was diagnosed with it, and it hasn't gone away. So...
Wow, so this is a forever thing for Giancarlo Stanton, it feels
well,
like.
Well, I mean, it's a forever thing because he dealt with it last year.
Yeah.
The fact he was dealing with it last year and here we are at the start of spring training and it's back, and if not back, it's worse than ever. I mean, Stanton himself said he's in excruciating pain. Well, he's in a lot of pain.
Excruciating pain? That's a bad sign because athletes don't admit to that.
He said he was in major pain. I want to get you the exact
okay,
word.
Okay, major, whatever it is.
Great movie, by the way.
Major pain. Oh, yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
I heard it's very high level of pain, according to Giancarlo Stanton. I want to get the wording
athletes
correct.
Athletes don't admit to that, ever. And wow. So the fact that he's saying that is, he must. It's probably worse than that, even.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. That's why you look at this and it's not your normal, all right, don't worry, it's a few weeks. Because in general, you mentioned, hey, it's spring training. Like Brandon Nimmo, I'll use him as an example. Brandon Nimmo doesn't play the first few weeks of spring training. It's been going on now for a couple of years. And at first, it caused concern, like, where's Nimmo? What's going on?
Right.
It's a part of his routine. A part of his routine on trying to stay healthy through a full season is not exerting himself by playing all these games in early March. And with a position player, especially a guy who's just a DH, all Stanton needs to do is start getting at-bats March 18th in spring training, give yourself a couple of weeks, you'll be ready to go for the start of the season.
Yep.
Doesn't take that much time, but the problem is, as we sit here today, he's in very high pain. So it's like, well, is it going to go away tomorrow? Is it going to go away a week from now?
And they know how important he is to the ultimate goal of the team and everything he did in October. They're not going to rush this thing. They're just not going to.
Let's go to Ben in Connecticut. How are you, Ben?
How's it going, guys? What a privilege to talk to a couple legends. So thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you, man.
There's only one legend here, and his name is Tiki Barber.
WFAN.
Well, listen, when you grew up like I did, listen to the Fan, Evan, you are as well. And me, you know, you and Joe back in the day. So,
appreciate it.
I wanted to talk about Pete Alonso and... And obviously, there's no way to defend that last year was like a quintessential Pete Alonso season. It wasn't, for sure. But to defend it a little bit, like I'm the kind of guy I probably watch, you know, 100 games a year. You know, I go to like 40 games a year, like
wow.
You, Evan. But
nice.
the amount of times where a random dog day game in July and August or whatever, and you know, Pete Alonso hit a three-run homer in the second inning. And we won 6-3, and no one even talked about it ever again. You know, that's where those 35 homers and 90 RBIs came from last year. Like, they were big in the dog days when no one's really paying attention, and most people are out barbecuing and whatever. And Pete Alonso's hitting the three-run homer in the third inning. You know, it's important. And
so, I'm Ben,
I'm
glad you said that. I want to pose this to Tiki so he can give an honest answer.
Okay, let's hear it.
About a week ago, I did an entire Rico Bronya. In which we analyzed, I'm not kidding, every single home run Pete Alonso hit in 2024. And I told you the situation.
How long was this, Rico?
It's about a good hour. Had a good time. But the other guy who spoke for the first time today is the captain of the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge. Now, Sean, you've listened to what Aaron had to say.
Yeah.
So we throw it to you at the Aaron Judge news desk. As we are now about to hear from Aaron Judge.
Okay, so first and foremost, I think a lot of the Juan Soto stuff's going to get attention. So I have two clips I think are worth playing with Juan Soto, but I think we should start non-Juan Soto.
Okay, let's start non-Juan Soto.
Okay, because this is show-oriented. We had a big discussion last week about who's going to hit leadoff, where, you know, who's going to bat second, and we were under the assumption Aaron Judge is batting second or first. As it turns out, and you can hear the clip, Aaron Judge would like neither of those options.
Yeah, I'd love to hit third again. I've told him that since the first day, but I've always been about wherever you need me. If it's hitting third, hitting second, hitting last, you know, I'll be anywhere that helps shape this lineup the way we need to. So we'll see. We got a lot of different guys, a lot of good different options that can hit leadoff for us.
Wow. Yeah, we have all just assumed because he was hitting second for the couple of years prior to that, and then Juan Soto comes around, it's like, all right, well, everything's changed. Now you have a chance to have Juan Soto, who walks so much, gets on base so often, Aaron Judge protect him. This sounds amazing, but I never even thought about the idea that Aaron Judge may have fallen in love with batting third, and it sounds like he has. Yeah, I don't know if I love it. Now, Aaron Judge batted third in his rookie season, But that's 2017. That was a million years ago. And he also did it in 2021. And I was curious, all right, when he was batting third, who was mostly batting first and second? Just to kind of have a comparison. DJ LeMahieu was the leadoff hitter most of the time.
Oh.
And they had a cavalcade of guys batting second, but mostly it was Giancarlo Stanton, which is weird to think about. But and the other guy was Luke Voit. He was the other guy who batted second a lot. So completely different. Yeah. Yeah. And
well, then, at that time, Stanton was younger, their big prize money guy.
Did he move well then?
He was moving better than he does now.
I don't remember.
No, it wasn't, but it was at that time. It's just, you know, have to close your eyes and imagine they wanted to get Stanton as many at-bats as possible.
And you know
see. Yeah.
And you know who protected Aaron Judge?
And Judge was young.
Yeah.
You know who protected Aaron Judge that year most of the time?
Who protected Judge?
Yeah, the guy batting
Gary Sanchez.
Gio Urshela.
Yeah.
Wow, what a fella.
Yeah. Oh, what a fine fella. That's interesting that Judge wants that, but you know just because he wants it doesn't mean Boone's going to do it.
You know what that tells
me? It's not best for the team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you, but you know what that tells me when we were making our lineup whole thing?
Yeah.
I don't discount the fact that Jason Dominguez at opening day could be hitting third or fourth if they were willing to do that with Judge in 2017.
Yeah, I got to look back. How early did they move Judge to that spot in the order? Because it may have been something that evolved a little bit over time. I'll look that up as you continue to play Judge close.
Okay, all right. Now to the juicy stuff. The meat and potatoes, as they like to say. Aaron Judge finally getting asked questions about Juan Soto. So the million-dollar question we all had, Aaron, did you bother to reach out to Juan Soto before he signed with the Mets? This is what he had to say.
Tried to. He got a different number, though, but, you know, so texts weren't going through. But we chit-chatted a little bit and caught up.
So he really did change his number.
Yeah, remember then there was that report right after that wasn't true. He didn't change his number. Judge is saying it's true. He changed his number. So I can't kill him if he tried to reach out. The guy switched his number.
I mean, he says he tried.
That's a bad job by Soto. I don't
Why is that a bad job by Soto?
Didn't Soto say he didn't change his number?
I thought a reporter said, I'd have to go back.
No, yeah, I remember.
Somebody said he did.
A reporter, it was either Heyman or Martino, one of them said, oh, Juan Soto changed his number.
Yeah, but I feel like somebody then disputed that and said he didn't actually change his number.
Well, I believe
that's what made Sean go off on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, you were anti-Aaron Judge for not doing enough to bring Juan Soto back.
I'm off it now. Right. I'm off it now. Now, last but not least, Aaron Judge was flat out asked about Juan Soto's comments about signing with the Mets and presenting a better opportunity to win a World Series. Remember that whole lightning rod idea? So did Judge take that personally? Let's hear what he had to say.
That's his opinion. He can say what he wants. I definitely disagree with him, but I wasn't too surprised by it. You know, I think that's where he wanted to be. I think that's where it was best for him and his family. And he got a pretty nice deal over there. So I think you can't say no to that. But I'm happy for him. You know, he got a good deal. He's going to be in a great spot. It's going to be great having him in town. We're going to be battling back and forth for quite a few years. So I'm definitely happy for him.
When he says he isn't surprised, what do you make of that?
Are you me or T?
Both of you.
My initial reaction tells me these guys were close. He clearly probably talked plenty with Juan Soto, and I think he probably knows what we as Yankee fans are blinded to, which was it was far from a lock Soto was ever coming back, and he probably did talk to him about the Mets.
Right,
they probably had
these conversations. What do you think he was saying to Aaron Judge, though, about the Mets that would make Aaron Judge say, I'm not surprised? I have a theory on this, but I'm curious what you guys think.
I don't know. I think maybe he's just an opportunistic speaker. So he's gonna highlight or lift up wherever he's at. And so obviously he's going to say, yeah, the Mets give me the best chance to win. That's why I signed here.
Right.
And if he would sign with the Yankees, he'd have said, the Yankees give me the best chance to win. He's actually just, I don't know, giving you chalk. What else would you want him to say?
I'm guessing at some point last year, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge had, at the time, what might have seemed like an innocuous conversation where Soto pumped up what was going on with the Mets over there in their lineup and Cohen and Money.
I don't think that's it at all.
Really? Or what do you think?
I think that Judge, and there's nothing wrong with this because some people may take it this way. I think Judge knew what I knew and what most of us knew from the very beginning about Juan Soto. He was going to go to the highest bidder. That's the way I looked at his free agency for a year and a half now. That he wasn't going to sign early. Remember when you were fantasizing about that, Sean? It was never a thing.
Yeah, okay.
Or he was going to be allured by pinstripes. No, I think he was going to go to the highest bidder. I think especially when you're a player who now bounces around the league, right? You're traded by the Nationals to the Padres. Now the Padres trade you to the Yankees. And now you've made it all the way to free agency. I think that Judge kind of knew he was going to the highest bidder, and he also knew his team wasn't going to be the highest bidder. I think he knew. I think he knew deep down, probably from talking to Hal, where they wanted him back, but there was going to be a moment where they said, enough's enough. And I think he probably knew what we've all surmised for years, that this was going to be the moment where Steve Cohen didn't walk away and didn't right. say enough's enough. So I didn't take it as he was whispering about the Mets in May. I took it as Judge kind of knew, like, wink, wink, he was going to the highest bidder. Yeah. And think about the last thing he said. He brought up and he got a pretty good offer from them.
Yeah.
They paid him the most money.
Yeah, but when I think it comes back to that, I still stand by what I believe Juan Soto would have said. If he was on the Blue Jays, he would have said, yeah, the Blue Jays give me the best chance.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's why Soto's right. saying that, even right. if he believes it, which maybe he does with the Mets. I think that he was always going to be opportunistic in terms of the contract.
Oh, without a doubt. He's one of the highest bidder. We all knew that.
And the Mets did a great job of making sure they were the highest bidder.
I think there was something else in that quote. Mine went over your head, Evan.
Go ahead.
I think Aaron Judge told us about telling us he knows where baseball's going. We're getting Yankees, Mets in the same division soon, too. I mean, many wars across town, the whole thing. You're going to play a little more than six times a year if you make a comment like that.
I don't think he was saying that. I think he was just saying that he knows the way we are in New York. Like, in the middle of May or June, let's say both teams are playing well. You know one of the biggest stories in New York could turn out to be? Who's having a better year, Judge or Soto? It's Soto Judge. Like, it's going to be the Mickey, Willie, and the Duke of 2025. It's going to be the Mattingly versus Keith of 2025. It's going to be the Ray Ordonez versus Derek Jeter of 2025.
How about Conforto Judge? You want to keep going?
Yeah, that was fun. But that's what I think he kind of realizes. All right, so you feel better about what Judge had to say?
I feel better about Aaron Judge, the leader of the New York Yankees. I don't feel better about the 2025 New York Yankees lineup after what he had to say, but that's it.
I would not bat him third. And just for the record, in 2017, Aaron Judge on opening day, and he did this for the first four games of the season, batted eighth. For the next 4 days of the season, he batted seventh. Then, about 4 days later, he started batting sixth. In early May, he got moved up to the five hole where he stayed until early June. And then in early June, Aaron Judge became the third hitter in the lineup, which featured a 1-2 of Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks. So Judge's evolution to becoming the third hitter in 2017 took 2 months. So it just reminds you that with young players, and in this case, Jason Dominguez, it usually takes a little bit of time before they jump up in the batting order. Yeah. Now, I think Dominguez is interesting. I mentioned him as a candidate for the leadoff spot because I think his skill sets could certainly work in that spot.
It's just a lot of pressure early in a very young career.
Yeah. I almost think they're going to do what they did with Judge and hit him 7-8 to begin. And if he gets off to a good start, then yeah, he's got that possibility of moving up in the order.
Right. In a sense, it's kind of what they did with Volpe as well, even though it took a year. He batted down in the lineup, and eventually they said, all right, let's try you leading off.
Right.
And for a minute, I think the importance of the moment, he rose to it, and then he kind of regressed to his mean, and it became an unviable situation. So they moved him back again. But, I mean, Jason Dominguez has had so much hype around him. The pressure on him is already high. The last thing you want to do is make it even worse by putting him in a leadoff spot. Early.
Yeah, I agree, and I would actually argue he has more pressure on him than Volpe had 2 years ago because I think that they need Dominguez to not just be good but be a force.
Yeah,
I think when you look at this lineup, and there are a lot of questions, you know, which Paul Goldschmidt is showing up, which Cody Bellinger is showing up, can Anthony Volpe make a jump? I think that they need Dominguez to at least be good. He can't just be, you know, oh, he's a rookie, he's doing all right. Like, they need him to be a forceful player. Obviously, no one's going to be 2017 Judge. That's one of the great rookie seasons in the history of baseball. But they're going to need Dominguez to be productive. But I don't like Judge hitting third. I'll tell you that right off the top. I'm glad he likes it, but you know what? He ain't the manager. Aaron Boone's the manager. And if I'm making the lineup, I'm not hitting Aaron Judge third. Just my opinion.
Joe Kelly doing it still to the Yankees on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. So I guess he says, I'm only coming back to play this year if it's for the Dodgers. If not, I'm going to retire. So he's not part of spring training right now, but apparently is sitting at home thinking about it.
I wonder how ground balls are going.
Where?
PFPs, ground balls, the little things.
In spring training, don't you think, like, PFPs can be very monotonous in spring training? Don't you think that you've inspired the Yankees to have the best PFPs?
All right, so the guy tees him up there, and
that's pitching fielding practice for people who don't know the code there.
Come on.
Well,
We had no idea.
But in here, hand up.
And you guys are sports talk guys.
All right, that's fine. You know what? That's a little snobby of me to make that assumption. Okay. I'll take the L on
that.
It's
not the midday show.
That's fine. All right, now, I guess Kelly right now has taken up coaching a 9-year-old travel team, and he says they know better than Garrett Cole, apparently, who is sort of the subject and the focus of yet another jab at the Yankees.
First move after a ground ball is hit to the right side, all of them are breaking. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Kids who pitch one inning a week, bro, know how to get over. You know what I mean? They're 9. It's the ZT prospects. 9 years old. Not one of them forgets to get over. Promise you. I know who does forget. Not the 9-year-old ZT prospects.
And then the video side of this, as he says, I know who does forget. They flashed the video, of course, of Garrett Cole not covering first
base. Well, you know, those nine-year-olds do not make $36 million a year.
No, they have to focus on the fundies.
Right. Man.
You know?
I mean, and then Aaron Boone was talking about Joe Kelly when he said, when some of these people were criticizing us, I'm like, you know what you did this year, man? Mm-hmm. So he probably heard that, wanted to go back at him. He's just loving it. You know, he's obviously with the Red Sox for years. He hated the Yankees. But it feels like this Garrett Cole thing is personal.
Yeah.
Like he really dislikes Garrett Cole.
It's got to be something else to that, yeah. I would think.
Because he didn't mention Judge dropping the fly ball.
He dropped the ball.
Yeah. Right on that.
You know what did you see someone flashed a picture? It was up there on social media accounts out there in the L.A. area. Someone's got a bumper sticker magnet now, and it's the Fox score bug from that inning. Bases loaded, 2 outs.
No.
It's literally just a cutout of the bug and the score at the time. That's pretty clever. I mean, as someone who suffered through that loss and that heartbreak, I've got to tip the cap that that's a pretty good one to get made up. I don't know where you go to get that done. That,
by the way, that's an all-timer.
Oh.
That is definitely an all-timer.
CeeLo, will you suffer more tonight if Canada beats the U.S. or more in that fifth inning of the Yankees-Dodgers?
The Yankees-Dodgers.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
all in on the flag, huh?
No, I'm in on it.
What the hell's wrong with
it? Let me put it this way, okay?
Slap the shit.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
I still have scars from the 2010 Olympics in overtime.
Okay.
Sidney Crosby breaking.
Yeah, I know. I want to see that tonight.
I know, but I feel like this has been great this week, it's not quite at that level.
Next year, the Olympics, it will be, right?
Well, if we get a similar situation, you know, you may not. This is.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we had a great goalie back then, and we have a great goalie tonight.
They got multiple great goalies, but the guy playing tonight is probably the best in the NHL.
Best.
Yes, Connor Hellebuck.
And he's going to have to be at his best tonight.
Yes. You guys know who he plays for?
Hellebuck?
Of course.
Well, I know you know that.
Oh, yeah, are you insulting me? What, are you crazy?
No Hellebuck, idea.
One of the greats.
Who's the best team in the league right now? Any idea, Al?
In hockey?
Yeah.
The NHL.
Probably the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, okay.
Capitals?
Nope. They're a good team this year.
Isn't Winnipeg good?
Yes.
Okay.
Are the Capitals at the top of the East?
Yeah, I believe they are, yes.
I think so. Yeah. All right. Certainly the Metro. I don't know where they compare to the guys in the Atlantic. I think they are. Florida's up there, obviously.
Just Google it.
Florida, Tampa.
Yeah.
Could you name one Winnipeg Jet ever to play hockey?
I cannot.
Well, we just named one. Like, a minute ago, 30 seconds ago.
Sidney Crosby.
I actually have, believe it or not.
Go ahead. And I'm going to quiz him.
I own an old school Teemu Selänne Winnipeg Jets
jersey. I figured that's where you were going.
I actually own that thing.
That's a good one to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's an icon, Hall of Famer.
But that rookie season that he had was unbelievable, and I remember I was into it back then, playing the NHL video games. I was like, it was a cool jersey. So, yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to try to give Al a layup here, okay? There's a gentleman who played for Winnipeg. The Rangers traded for him. He became the Ranger captain. He was traded away this year. His name is?
Oh, man.
The defenseman.
I feel like I know it, too.
American?
Kaapo Kakko.
Oh, boy.
No.
Boomer's doing his usual
feeling. Yeah, I didn't
answer.
Hear it.
And he still can't get it.
Kaapo Kakko, he traded him to the Kraken.
Yeah, but he's not American.
Yeah, that's Seattle, yeah.
He didn't come from Winnipeg. He was not the Ranger captain.
He was drafted by the Rangers.
American.
Yes. Yeah. How about Jacob Trouba?
Would have never come up with
that.
Jesus. All right, time to move on.
Yes. I don't care.
I know you don't.
But he will ask Alexa tomorrow morning who won the damn game.
Yeah, because he's into the U.S. element.
No,
that's what it is.
Yeah, well, that's for
the
those
provincial
that are
attitude
fringe
we have.
Hockey fans. That's why they're into it,
damn
which I'm
right.
all good with.